You have just entered the KD Ma podcast. Keyboard plus mouse or die.
Hey guys, what's going on? And welcome to episode 75 of the KB Mod podcast. This is a privilege. I don't think I've actually gotten to introduce the episode in the last 3 weeks, out of my own fault, granted. But it's good to
show up on
time. Yeah, it's good to be back and on time. Thanks to Brandon's very timely text message and league telling me that we were about to start. So I got out of there and we forfeited the game, and that's how that went. But how's everyone doing this week? We've got the normal crew: Nick, John, Brandon, and Dan. What's going on, guys?
What's happening? I'm swell. I'm waiting on this delicious Italian delivery food to get here.
Yeah,
would cost more than it costs to go to a restaurant. That's fine. I don't even remember what I got. Some kind of like blue cheese Parmesan ravioli and a Caesar salad.
Sounds very good.
All I know is hockey is back.
Yes, I love sports hockey. So. Hockey's the only sport that I give a shit about, so I was like a little kid on Christmas when I found out there's going to be hockey, and I can't wait to spend $250 on NHL Center Ice. It's going to be great.
Yes.
Is that it? Are we done? Can we go home now? That was kind of a little long conversation.
Brandon and Nick did nothing of consequence.
Yeah, you guys literally... what did you get up to this week, Brandon? You know what I want from you, Brandon? I would love... Now, don't take this a creepy way, but if I had a video camera that I could bring to your house that shot like sweet HD, would you let me film the moment you wake up in the morning till the moment you go to bed? Because I feel like it would be super interesting. I'm not even kidding.
Yeah,
I'm talking shower shit, the whole nine yards.
You talking about during the weekend or during the week?
No, during the week, work I think week.
The only thing specific that you listed was him showering. Like, you couldn't list anything else except
I
him
said
showering.
Shit as well. Oh, I said shit.
That's not specific, though. Like, you went out of your way to talk
he
about
He meant defecating, though.
Yeah.
He was referring to defecating.
The few activities you've mentioned that you'd like to see.
Okay, I didn't say I'd like
sure
to.
I'm not sure how I feel about that.
But this is what I was saying, because you are such an enigma to me. I want to know, like, how Brandon operates at a work day. Like, are you super, like... Are you super aggro? Like, do you take control of situations, Brandon? I want to know about you, and I'm not trying to
aggro crack.
I'll tell you what Brandon does. Okay, here's the way that he does a lot of work, right? And he does like really important work,
right?
And then he manages to he like desperately tries. Most of his day is spent trying to find time when he can work on a KBMod article.
Do something else, yeah.
Yeah, when he could do anything else other than what he's working on, most of his day is spent trying to outfox everyone in his office to be able to do that.
Outfox.
That's what it is.
Yeah,
yeah, it's not nearly as glamorous as it sounds.
I don't know, Brandon. A little bit of film, a little bit of music, maybe a nice color filter on the footage in Vegas. I think it could be a hit. I think
we can do that. I can just webcam with you from work.
That could work.
That's true.
Work. Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe we'll
soon. I will have a webcam at work as well.
Really?
We can.
What for? Yeah. Just to chat.
I don't know. Make weird masturbatory footage
at work.
Make everyone else in the office uncomfortable by showing them this footage.
Do you have a wall on your cube?
What are you doing? That's right next to my cube.
The word masturbatory
doing?
Is really good. It's a really good word.
I used the word untoward in a tweet the other day or in chat, and people were all impressed.
Get out of my masturbatory.
What about that?
Sellout owl asks if you're going to use ChatterBait, which I think that's a fair question.
The best thing that happened to me this week is I was reading a Reddit thread, and somebody spelled the word segue correctly. Like, this is a segue into this.
Not like a segue, like...
Somebody fucking spelled it correctly in Reddit, and I was just
like
yes.
A segu? A segu?
Yes, a segu.
Yes.
That gives me moderate hope about Reddit, but not much.
No. Just then go on to Reddit right now and immediately lose
all hope.
Just go to Girls in Yoga Pants. You don't need to go to Reddit.
Yeah.
Sieg Genesis.
Sieg Genesis. Oh, my goodness. But, all right. Well, what have you been up to, Nicholas, in Minnesota? Has it been snowy out there? Has it been cold?
No, it's actually been like... somewhat warm for winter. It's been more like spring here the last couple weeks.
What,
so no.
Yeah, it was...
How's Goldberg?
How would you know?
Goals against average this season?
I have no idea what was just said.
Goldberg, his goals against average this season. How is it?
Good.
That was a Mighty Ducks reference.
Mighty Ducks,
Nick.
Goldberg, goalie. No, nothing.
Okay. I've seen the Mighty Ducks. I just don't know how to respond to that. It's just okay.
It's a fantastic film.
Better than Nicholas Backstrom's Skulls Against will be in about 3 weeks.
Yeah, shut up.
That would be.
Backstrom's a great guy, and he tries really hard.
He does try. He tries.
He tries really hard, and he doesn't succeed. So,
Nick did buy his plane tickets though to come out at the end of the month. So that's exciting. You could have shared that, but no, that just slipped your brain. You want, you know, when I want to talk about the fucking weather, Nick. That's great.
About the weather. Don't get on this.
I love how I can sound like a manipulative girlfriend. Like, oh God, you bring that up? Oh man.
Yeah, we were all thinking that, so it doesn't matter.
Well, that's great.
But yeah, it's been about 70 here.
It's been, I think it's been like in the 40s.
Shut up.
Yeah. It is in Pittsburgh right now. It's warm.
All our snow melted. Yeah.
It rained. It rained here this week, and it sucked because like it's not warm enough for it to just rain because the next day it's just icy all over, and it sucks.
Yeah, that is the worst. Yeah.
I was like, the day it rained, I was just like, this is awful. It's better than snow right now, but tomorrow I'm going to hate my life. Because just ice.
That's different than normal, though, the hating life thing. Or...
I was gonna say,
no.
You're going to hate it more than you hate it today?
Yeah.
I mean, it differs. It's usually like, wow, I'll never amount to anything. There's ice.
Oh, yeah, that's super depressing.
So
anyway, Dan, what have you been up to?
Not much, man. No. Just went to Penguins practice, so the pre-show today, which was awesome. See some hockey back, but
chatterbaiting when you're
Planning on planning my chatterbait strategy.
I think the
there's
word
a strategy.
Word chatterbait or
I'm chatterbaiting at work. That's got to be like more points. That's got to or whatever it is.
More chatterbait.
Can I do your bus video though for that? Can I expose you? Can it be on my channel when I?
Oh yeah, dude. Yeah, you'd be like, that is definitely the same Domo in the background of that
guy. Like you're gonna film him jerking off on a bus. I thought. I was very confused.
No. Yeah.
Bus.
Well, that'd be cool too.
Or well, a bust video could be something else too.
Is that not what that service is already built around?
What a bus is meant for
people masturbating on buses? Yeah, or
I don't know what they do in Texas, but that's not normal.
Bus not bait.
APL Fisher uploaded video.
What if you got on a bus and everyone's masturbating? And they're like, yeah, this is the bus where everyone masturbates. We don't go anywhere. We just drive around in circles.
The bus stops when we're done.
We're done masturbating.
Everybody on this bus has to finish. Single one.
It was Beersmas yesterday
until
as well.
The floors are sticky.
And we had a huge conversation about Dutch ruddering during Beersmas.
Really? Oh, I feel like I know what that is and it's...
So, if you don't know what a Dutch rudder is, I'll just explain it right now. It's supposed to be a thing where it's not gay to do, but it's totally gay. But it basically, you put your hand on your dick, and then some other guy moves your wrist.
What?
And jerks you off.
What?
And you don't look at each other. You can't make eye contact.
Well, there are two forms of this. You could do it. You could face each other, or you could do it back to back, and then you reach behind and you grab their elbow and you do it.
Yeah.
There's different like
because there's nothing gay about grabbing
this?
A wrist.
What research have you done into this? That's detailed.
And we also learned about things like the Albanian steering wheel and the Norwegian regatta, which just involves more dudes Dutch ruddering, but.
Someone in chat just said, speed 4, everybody finish. The new speed. Reeves is back.
Reeves.
This bus can't go under 60 miles an hour until we all come.
This bus doesn't run on gas, it runs on semen.
No.
How did we get here? What is happening? All right, I apologize.
Shout out to Andy Irish in the chat real quick for loving the joke.
My cousins and I do this all the time.
So what have we been playing this week?
Yeah, I know.
Let's get into what we've been playing. And I also didn't... Well, John. I didn't ask John what he's been up to. We got to find out. Besides ordering Italian food.
You're muted.
John muted himself.
Okay.
I was eating my delicious sunflower seeds. I don't want to crunch them in your ear. But Ada's working all weekend, so I just got to play games. It's
nice.
Good.
Oh, nice.
About 16 hours a day.
What have you been playing?
Yeah, we'll start with you then.
TF2. What? Okay, move on.
Yep.
Now, John and I did play some Medal of Honor the other night.
Yeah,
we played, played some Sniper V2.
And nice. We played NS2 one night, too.
Oh, yeah.
But mostly TF2. It's a good game. I enjoy it a lot. I'm also fucking phenomenal at it. I'm so fucking good. I need to buy a 120 hertz laptop so I can play TF2 at work.
You can't play it anywhere else.
No, I can't play on 60 hertz. It's the worst.
Doable. What about you, Brandon? What have you been playing besides Medal of Honor, Allied Assault, and Chatterbait?
That's not a game.
Lifestyle.
That ain't a game.
You think this shit's a game? It ain't Chatterbait.
I finished Mark of the Ninja, which is awesome. I definitely recommend.
How long is it?
It depends on how
you just played it through. You didn't try to like.
Yeah, yeah. I just played it through. I don't know. I mean, I probably have like 6 hours or something. But you can better. I mean, I was pretty cautious though. I think you could probably run through that game a lot quicker, but I was like exploring each level and stuff, which you didn't necessarily have to do. But I love the art style in that game. I played some XCOM this weekend. I was getting back into that, and I think I'm getting pretty far. I don't know exactly where I'm at, but I think I'm hitting the highest level aliens and stuff. So I think I'm going to try and finish that up, like, maybe next weekend. And then just playing some League, playing and watching the qualifiers this weekend. That's about it.
Sounds fun. No League of Legends, huh, in there?
I just... What?
Dear God.
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening to what you're saying.
Thank you,
on...
Grandma. Turn up your hearing aid.
I was on... I read it gone wild. I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
I really wish I was lying.
You don't even cut it up being like, I was on Ask Jeeves. Like, I was on Gone Wild, man.
The problem.
We're on a podcast, and the last thing I say was I said I have been playing and watching some League this week.
I'm so sorry. I zoned out right at the end.
You zoned out because it was an MF picture.
Oh, my
and
God.
You're like, oh, man, that's a dick. Yeah. And you got distracted.
Anyway. So I take it
you've been, you are atheist.
I know you've been playing some League because
I have. That's yeah. That's
podcast because of it.
Yeah. No, I've been playing some League. I've been playing. I played some PlanetSide this week, which I still stand by my original thoughts on it. I think it's a pretty. I mean, it's a well-made game. It just. I don't know. We'll have to see if the populations increase and there's more stuff to do. What else have I been playing? I tried that Minecraft shooter game, the Ace of Spades.
Ace of Spades.
Yeah. My main question with that is why?
I think that's everybody's question.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. Like, the shooting mechanics are cool, but it's like, why would I play this over anything else? And there's really no answer.
Yeah.
What else did I play? Played a little bit of Halo 4 at work. My Xbox died, though. I was trying to watch Netflix last night. And that Red Ring, I had an original Xbox from, like, release year. And it finally bit the dust, so...
Wow, you got one made by somebody who knew what the fuck they were doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Were you watching a Shirley Temple movie?
No, not this time. I was trying to finish this Sherlock episode.
That
show is the best. I can't.
Best show.
It's so good.
Best show.
So I think you've talked about it before, right? I don't know.
Yeah. What are you on? What episode?
I just finished episode one of season two, which is fucking just right. Blew my mind.
Just wait till the end.
Fuck, that show's so good.
And then you gotta wait till like I think late this year or even next year for season three.
I heard they're shooting season three still or something. I think
Cumberbatch and whoever plays Watson,
Martin Freeman, aka yes.
Bilbo Baggins, they were doing Lord of the Rings, so everything got pushed back.
Did you hear how about when they were shooting season two of Sherlock, Peter Jackson went to Bilbo and said that we will wait 6 months until you're done shooting Sherlock because that's how bad we want you for the role. It's pretty dope.
That's because he's the goddamn perfect Bilbo Baggins.
Yeah,
he is.
No one else in history can ever play Bilbo Baggins again.
Like, after seeing him play Bilbo Baggins in The Hobbit, there's literally no one else on Earth that I could ever imagine being Bilbo Baggins ever.
True. I'm with you on that.
Say Bilbo Baggins a few more times.
Bilbo fucking Swaggins.
Bilbo Swaggins. J.R.R. Tolkien.
That's a good one right there.
How has that never been said? That had to have been said before.
I totally stole that. Okay. So that's what I didn't make that up. Makes... I would love to take credit for that. But... J.R.R. Tolkien.
Man, I'm just... everything's tickling me tonight. Who
I will
we
choke
not...
the ring some...
Who have,
Nick,
we not
what have you been playing?
Dota 2. I finished Spec Ops The Line.
Don't tell me anything about that. I'm going to play it on stream. Was the story good?
Yeah.
Damn it.
Like, for a shooter, I guess, but really not.
Okay.
Nick Fenton has this thing where he can never be excited about anything.
That's true. I'm with you on that.
He's like the ultimate hipster when it comes to anything. He's like, oh, Halo 4. I don't know how I feel about it. I watched that commentary. That whole commentary was you sidestepping the fact that you think it's fucking good. Jesus Christ. Let me just look at him.
He's
yes, it was. Don't lie to me. You like Halo 4.
I don't play that game.
Okay, all right.
I'm not even SR50. Like, if I liked that game, I would be SR50, but I'm not, so...
In general, though, you have
the
to...
The fuck
you,
is SR50?
Yeah.
It's the rank.
Rank, yeah. But, yeah, you do love Mirror's Edge, but even then, I just think you're like my brother. You annoy me like my brother does. Like, my brother could win $50 million, and he'd be like, sweet.
It's okay.
That was cool. That was cool. I'd be like, well, could you fucking get excited about something for once?
No, I just... It's like...
It's a defense mechanism. You know why?
No.
You want me to get real shrinky on you right here? Right here? Well, you can't speak. You want me to get real shrinky on you right here? It's a defense mechanism from letting other people know that you care deeply about something, and then when they strike you in the hardcore by saying, oh, that's stupid, you have a defense mechanism because you're like, well, I didn't think it was that cool. But really.
Well, maybe I should. I've decided that I'm going to stop reading and taking what people say about video games. Seriously, because like people are like, oh my god, Spec Ops The Line, greatest story ever, and it's not that great. If you look at it compared to other games, the story is not good. The characters were not fleshed out at all. I had no attachment to any of them.
Basically, what you're saying is you're upset that Soap McTavish wasn't in the game.
Those characters could have been Soap McTavish. It wouldn't have mattered. They're not exciting characters.
How deep is your emotional attachment to Soap?
It's through the roof. Through the roof.
You too.
No, I know what you're saying, Nick. There's a balance
down
there,
the heart of it.
I get too excited about stuff, but you're like on the other end of the spectrum, so it's
well,
somewhere.
Like I, that's the problem, is I get excited about stuff and then I play it and it's not as good as it is at all. Like whatsoever. Like I'm playing Spec Ops Line and it's so painfully generic to play. There's nothing redeeming about the gameplay of that game whatsoever.
Your whole 2012 was subverted expectations then, Nick. You're like, Guild Wars 2. And then you were like, eh.
Pretty much my entire year of 2012. Yeah. It was like, hype. I guess it's all right. That's pretty much 2012 in a nutshell.
Well, you're also an entitled little prat, so that kind of makes it.
Whoa!
Little prat?
I just wanted to say that, and you're not.
I mean, yeah, I've been playing Mirror's Edge, and I bought the DLC finally, because, you know, I'm like late on that, the time trial DLC, and that's fun, so. That's my. All
right. That's week. It. That's
there you plan. Go.
What about
Nick's in pain?
Daniel.
Isaac.
I saw you playing Isaac at like weird times of day, all the time.
Ooh, calling them out maybe. Working a little.
No. Like at night, I'd just be like, oh, I didn't know Dan was on.
Well, what'll happen is like I'll be watching a stream or something, and I'll just like, oh, I'll throw on some Isaac because it's like, you know, it requires nothing to run. Because it's just a flash game. So I'll just throw it on if I'm doing other stuff or like watching stuff. If anyone is friends with me on Steam probably thinks I'm really into Civ 5.
You just left it
that's
running.
That's not me playing. My brother-in-law's been playing it on my computer. He's played like 30 hours this week of Civ 5.
I've heard it's fucking epic. So a lot of people have been telling me I need to play it.
I want to play it. I just haven't found a good time to get like into it. If that makes any sense. So yeah, I've been playing lots of Isaac. I did get a mom kill right before the podcast. So that was my third mom kill. What else did I play? Botanicula I played on stream this morning. That game has some epic music and sound. And it's just beautiful to look at. It's a puzzle game, for those who don't know. It's really weird when you start out, like, really weird. But it's very fun, and the sound and everything of it is totally worth doing. I don't think it's very long either. We cleared chapter one today in like 50 minutes or something. I played that. I played COD 4 this week. Played some COD 4.
Oh, I was hop there. Back
for the viewer night. Had some fun.
How goes the boobies and beer COD server?
Doesn't exist.
No? Gone?
Fortunately.
Damn.
What happened was, like, near the end of the servers, which were the best servers.
Yeah, totally.
The lag got, like, horrible. And then they, like, turned them off for a little bit, and then they turned them back on, and then the lag was still terrible, and then they just disappeared. So I don't know what clan or whatever ran
probably
that.
Probably government thing. Clearly, government conspiracy.
Clearly they stopped paying for
probably
it.
Probably tax evasion, let's be honest. Mm.
But we ended up getting enough people for like 20 on 20 in a server. So it was insane, as always. Chris Puckett did shit on us.
Chris Puckett?
Some dude had their name is respected had his name is Chris.
Yeah,
Puckett.
He was doing some Astro listen-ins.
Yeah, some Astro listen-ins are happening.
I personally, from the one map that I played that I came in when the team was getting destroyed and I went 17-0, I remember Chris Puckett being shitty.
Chris Puckett was going ham.
That's because he was basically bringing you the top 10 from MLG Dallas.
I am an excellent marksman, and you're just average.
It's true. Okay. That's true. But I think that's... I'm looking at my list here to see what else I might have played. Oh, also, I just wanted to talk about this without, like, ruining it for everyone. Played Walking Dead Episode 2 on the Monday stream. Mind blown again. Just you guys do need to play it. It's legit. I know John's been playing it, but it's legit. Walking Dead?
Yeah. I'm playing it on the iPad on the way to work.
It's fucking legit.
I actually downloaded that on my iPad today because the first episode's free, and it seems like the type of game that would be well suited for that.
Yeah, first episode is like a little slow, but there's some crazy moments. But episode two is just like, what the fuck? Like, you're in a state of shock for most of it. So I played that.
The first time you've ever been able to get the same experience across multiple platforms, like in any game ever. The game on the iPad is the exact same thing as it is.
Tell you what, the controls will suck as bad on iPad as they do on PC. Mm-hmm. So there you go. Played a lot of Sleeping Dogs, started playing it. I'm terrible at the combat.
I've been playing some of that too, actually.
What a game.
Those super textures, man.
Yeah.
Even I drop to like 30, 40 FPS sometimes.
Yeah, if you get a lot of stuff on screen, it goes really bad. But it's a great game. Despite how bad I am at the at the combat. But that's been about it this week. I'm watching a lot of streams this week because I was watching the Awesome Games Done Quick marathon, which
was really cool.
Mind blowing. Yeah. The Braid, I watched The Braid play speedrun. If anyone's played Braid, the words Braid and speedrun don't even go together. And this guy beat Braid in 37 minutes the whole game.
I was watching it, and then they started playing Sonic 06, and then I turned it off, and I was like, nope.
Well, they had a whole section, like a 12-hour section of awful games done quick.
Yeah, that's what it was.
And I
wanted to watch it, and it was too bad. I couldn't.
I watched Metal Morph and Crash Test Dummies. The Crash Test Dummies.
I want to see a speedrun of Ghosts and Ghouls or whatever it's called on NES.
I think they did one. Not sure
it's
though.
The hardest game ever.
They did like 60 games. So
yeah, that Doom 2 speedrun I think was my favorite.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
I'm just amazed that there are people that speedrun like everything. I was watching they did GoldenEye and it's like they have special techniques and you have to look at the ground because you lag a little bit and you go slower when you're not. It's just like, really? GoldenEye? I just can't even imagine that. Just that game is so old that people speedrun literally every game.
Dude, like I said, they did a speedrun of fucking Chex Quest, dude.
That was
the
awesome.
The game that came in Chex, which was just a skin Doom 2.
Yeah, but
the Portal 2 one was good too.
I didn't see the Portal 2 one, and I heard that's
like watching,
the best.
I like watching Portal 2 like run through us on like test maps, like where you just like time trial kind of stuff like that. It's
yeah,
like crazy.
They do some crazy stuff in Portal. Yeah, I didn't see Portal 2, and I'm sad that I missed it. Yeah, someone beat Ocarina of Time in 25 minutes.
Jesus.
There was a glitch, obviously, but yeah. Yeah, our Portal 2 playthrough was awesome.
Yeah, I don't know that would qualify as a speedrun of any sort.
It took us as long to beat the last level as it did for that guy to beat the whole game. So,
we now interrupt your scheduled programming to bring you an urgent broadcast from the front lines of America.
The news, which actually we've been kind of moving into a format with less news, but this week it was unavoidable to have a lot of news.
CES was this week.
We got all our coverage from Fwiz. Anyway, CES 2013 was this week, and normally there wouldn't, like last year, there wasn't a ton of PC gaming related stuff that came out of CES 2013. Like, there's always cases and like new monitors and that kind of thing there, but there's not usually huge impactful things for PC gaming at CES, because it's consumer electronics. It's more TVs, mobile devices, that kind of thing. But this year, I mean,
yeah,
there was some really, really big news. So we're going to start off with the big dog, and that would be Valve and the Steam Box. For those of you who didn't see, Valve had a little private booth set up for, not for the public, but for like, hardware partners and things like that to come by. And they had in there, they had some examples of the Steam Box, which, you know, we've been talking about for months. They had three or four different ones set up. One was the piston case that a lot of people saw. One was actually in an Alienware X51. and The Verge snagged an interview with Gabe Newell. And there was some really surprising stuff in there as far as what they want to do. Because before this, pretty much all of us have said and thought, and all the media had thought, well, it's a Steam Box, right? So it's like a little, you know, almost a home theater PC that you hook up. It's just going to be a Valve console. And you'll have the Steam library and you'll play your games on it. But the most interesting thing to me about this was that Valve wants to be able to have the Steam Box power like 8 displays.
Yeah.
Kind of serve as like a thing where you could play multiple games on multiple monitors throughout the home. So, I mean,
yeah.
That's crazy.
Super like, cool.
And it's upgradable. Mind you, the hardware is upgradable as well. You just slide the board out, you buy a new board from them, and you slide it in, and it has better specs.
And you'll be able to put Windows on if you want. It's going to come with Linux, which we all kind of knew/thought before this. But you'll be able to install Windows on it if you want. So go ahead, Scott. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, that article is a must read if you at all care about what Valve's doing in the future. Like, he doesn't, I mean, that's like the most in-depth interview he's given in, I don't know,
a while.
Like a year probably, right?
Dude, it legit seems to me that you could just walk up to Gabe and like on the streets and he'll just give you an interview. He just like likes to talk to people.
I don't know, but that's why, like, why aren't there more, I guess maybe he's not out and about that much for people.
No,
to,
he's,
I don't know.
He's rolling around in pools of money.
Yeah, in his office.
He's just hanging out. He's messing with his knives in his office.
Yeah. I mean, it's super cool. I mean, and, well, we can talk a little bit, I mean, just in general, though, what do you guys think about, like, was that's the biggest curveball for you, Dan, was the 8 monitor thing? This whole thing was kind of not shocking, but
that was the biggest one to me because that isn't tech that exists,
right,
as far as I know. Especially
I think
being powered.
There's like proof of concept type stuff. I think there are technologies out there that do it. It's just that it's not really implemented in any form right now. And I know we're going to talk about this in a second, but that seemed to be kind of a talking point with the NVIDIA Shield and to some extent also Razer's thing. That's kind of where some of that stuff is going, is that they want to be able to, you know, do wireless display connection and things like that.
And the the other cool thing is, like, well, there's tons of cool shit with this that they want to do. Basically, Valve will not be the sole provider of a Steam Box, is what it sounds like to me. Yeah. So you won't have to, like, buy it from Valve. Like, maybe that Piston company puts it together and you can buy a different version with slightly different specs running on the same OS or something like that. That will be a Steam Box. Like, they're not calling it a Steam Box, I don't think, as far as the actual name of the thing, but I think it's like Project Bigfoot or something. Could be wrong on that. But anyway, so you'll be able to buy it from other providers. So maybe, you know, Alienware may have a thing that they call a Steam Box, which would be low cost is the thing that they want to stress. And it won't be locked at all. And the other thing that they're doing along with this, which came out, was Valve has filed a bunch of patents to make a new controller because they're not satisfied with the way any controller works.
Biometrics.
Right now.
Yep. I really enjoyed that part of the interview is when they were, The Verge was asking him about kind of creative inputs and things like that. And he basically said, you know, we tried messing around with motion control and things like that, and we just couldn't, you know, we didn't see it being better, basically.
Well, like I love what they said. We didn't see a use for it that was better.
Right. And it's just like basically
nobody else does either.
Yeah, exactly. It's like he's just saying what everyone else is thinking, and you just get this sense that the people at Valve are very common sense kind of people. It's like if you're trying something out and you don't really see a use for it, or you don't really enjoy it, then that's not the answer. And so it sounds like instead they're going to focus on biometric data. And I mean, that could mean a lot of different things. I'm very interested to see where they go with it and kind of how that adds to the experience.
Yeah. And Scott, you mentioned the biometrics thing. Yeah. That is what they're really looking at. Biometrics is more like they're really looking into gaze tracking, like eye tracking, as far as a way to control it. Which actually that, there is proof of concept stuff for that.
No,
that
not tracking gaze,
tale.
My friend. Tracking gaze, G-A-Z-E.
Your eye. gaze, like when you look, when you're looking at things. That.
I knew that was.
Valve is
government. Sorry,
gaydar.
No need that. But I love the way he says this. Your fingers are actually your highest bandwidth, as far as he means, like, you know, as far as feedback. So trying to talk to a game with your arms is essentially saying, oh, we're going to stop using Ethernet and go back to 300 baud dial-up. Like, so basically just shits on the Kinect and the Wii and the PS Move and pretty much everything right there. But they want to use the gaze software, which there have been some videos out there of people controlling FPS games with just eye movements. You can find them on YouTube, but so that's not a fairy tale. That's an actual thing. And it just sounds like there was no price info leaked or anything like that, I don't think, or any.
No, I didn't see anything yet.
I don't think they have any idea what it's going to cost yet.
Yeah, I don't think so.
That's the most important part for me, the pricing and stuff. That's kind of a deal breaker. I'm not going to spend $500 or more.
Yeah, I wouldn't spend $500 on one, for sure. I'm with you on that.
I wouldn't spend over that.
The other cool thing about this is that you'll be able to do everything you can do on a PC. It's not just going to be like you load into Steam and then you're locked in there. You can fire up any web browser on it and like watch Netflix on it or Hulu or all that kind of stuff. So to me, if it's 300 even, I will highly consider buying one of these.
I think
as long as they keep the upgrades relatively affordable, like if it's like $100 every couple of years to upgrade it, I'd probably pay $500 for it. I would prefer not to, but if they maintain like a reasonable price point for the upgrades, I would consider $500 for it.
If they go an upgrade route, that's like really important, I would think. Because like the whole thing that sets it apart from like an Xbox or a PS3 is like an Xbox comes out and it's like what you get with that Xbox is static for its entire lifetime. But like If you can
and
change out the parts,
$300. Yeah.
You can swap out your stuff and you get a new experience every year or two, depending on how much you want to spend.
If you look at it, I mean, realistically, it's a PC that you never have to replace. I mean, a PC that I buy now, I might not have to replace the PC for 5 years, but eventually I have to replace everything in it. With the Steam Box, if I can spend $100 and upgrade it every 2 years, but I never actually have to buy an entirely new box, like that's good enough for me. I mean, I'm still going to play games on my PC, but I'm one of those people who just likes to have a lot of things because I don't like money. And whatever it costs, I'll probably buy it anyway.
Yeah, I think it sounds like at least the way that it kind of came off to me when Gabe was talking about it was that the Steam Box is really like a refinement of the home theater PC that can play games, that can do the general purpose things that people want to be able to do from a lot of these consumer electronics devices that they can't do for whatever reason, because content locks it out, or like just it's a PC because you can do a lot of things with it. But I think they're looking to kind of commoditize the market of whatever the Steam Box ends up being. It'll be like a subsection of what the PC is now, but you know that if something's a Steam Box, that it's got all the stuff built in.
It's a full home entertainment product. It has everything that you need for home entertainment.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they said they're definitely going to try to push the envelope as far as how much CPU and GPU you can fit in this tiny space. It's going to be, you know, as much as they can possibly get in there. Like, as much as they can engineer into there, it will be in there. There's not going to be any corners cut.
Which makes me think that the price point will be a little bit higher than a standard console.
Yeah.
And I think it's a product looking to the future, too. Because right now, when Gabe is saying things like the Steam Box will act as a server, and, you know, theoretically it could serve up 8 televisions, like, that's not a realistic thing to say today. Because it's not possible in a box with that kind of form factor, but in the next few years, that certainly could become possible.
So that's an upgrade on the chip,
right? If they put the research and development into it now, they position themselves pretty well for when the hardware catches up.
Yeah. Yep. So,
I mean, I'll just say real quick, my favorite part of the article is at the end, because it just shows the mentality of obviously Gabe and Valve. It's like, because they ask, they say, do you think this can really disrupt the home entertainment space, blah, 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 you know, compete with Sony, Microsoft? And he's like, the internet is super smart. If you do something that is cool, that's actually worth people's time, then they'll adopt it. If you do something that's not cool and sucks, you can spend as many marketing dollars as you want, they won't. And that's it. That's it in a nutshell. He's trying to, like, Gabe isn't in the market of being like, well, we gotta sell something that, you know, okay, it could be cool, but at the end of the day, we need to worry about the bottom line and get a product that is going to make our board happy. That's the freedom that obviously he has. And it's like, they're not going to make something they don't think is going to improve the user experience at all. Like, so that's why, I mean, I know we give Valve a lot of passes and stuff where we're like, oh, we just have blind faith. But it's the same thing with this. It's like everything he's saying makes sense. They're going to make something that's going to change, once again, the fundamental entertainment space in the home. And I think this is just another – this is like Steam for the home entertainment center. Do you know what I mean? What it did – what Steam did for digital distribution of games and is the norm now, this will be the same thing in the home, I think.
I mean, that's a good point. If you look at, you know, what they've created right now, if they can create something even remotely close to Steam's caliber in the home entertainment space, like, you're in for a fucking awesome time. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, exactly.
And like, you know, you mentioned the bottom line, which Valve, you know,
they don't have a board.
Unlike other companies, doesn't have to really care about, but they will make money hand over fist as soon as you got Steam. Think of how many more households you get Steam into with a product like this.
Exactly.
Like, I mean,
and then you're getting the casual side too. That might not be as, you know, even though there are casual people that use Steam, but
you're
getting a lot of that market.
So, but onto something that actually is related to Valve still. The Steam Box is very exciting, and they have a project called Littlefoot, which is part of the Project Bigfoot, which is the Steam Box, but it involves trying to get that platform onto mobile devices eventually. This is like way down the line.
Can I just say that Littlefoot was the worst character and Petrie was far superior?
Petrie was the shit. I'll give saying. You that.
I'm all about that time. Spike life. You know, he might be a little retarded. He might be slow.
Reborns never play with long necks.
That's called segregation. It taught me that it was bad at a young age. So, Land Before Time, dang.
Sarah's a bitch. Whatever
yeah, she's a racist.
Sarah is not. No, she's not. She's just very, very proud, and she's not going to play with no long necks.
Try Sarah's power.
Okay, back on topic.
Back on after that dinosaur ethnic cleansing discussion we just had, Sarah the Triceratops. So Valve is also working with NVIDIA on trying to use the 650 at least cards to stream this media. As we mentioned, they want to eventually have this sort of streaming capability to multiple screens with the Steam Box. But NVIDIA announced, along with Tegra 4, for those of you that care about mobile devices, which looks pretty fucking beast, they announced the NVIDIA Shield, which is basically looks like an old Xbox controller with a screen strapped to it. That was like the best way I could describe it.
Pretty much.
But this wouldn't matter to us at all if it was just an Android gaming thing. But it's a lot more than that. I watched the keynote live, which was full of excruciating, awkward moments throughout.
Where the TV didn't work and like...
TV didn't work. The Steam connectivity that I'm going to talk about didn't work. The one where they were talking about their HDR capabilities in the beginning and they tried to take the picture of the one model was the most horrible experience.
It's pretty rough.
Like, oh my God, pretty it's rough. Terrible.
And they still didn't have the worst keynote of CES.
Yeah, the Qualcomm was really terrible.
At least the CEO was a buff Asian dude who was pretty to look at. So, or whoever was presenting them.
Nice nips.
He had really solid nice nips.
He was like, I've been working out for the past 6 months. You're all going to see my pecs. So
exactly. I'll deal with it.
So, the Shield is basically a mobile gaming device, just like a Vita or something else. It's got a flip-up screen. It's like, I believe, full 1080p. But it's only like 4 inches or something. It's pretty damn small.
Or 1366 by 760.
It's quite small, though. Like, just like too small, in my opinion. But the cool thing I did, and I wasn't even truly like paying attention fully until they brought up what it can do with Steam. And you can actually stream your games that are basically running on your PC. You can stream them to the device and play them on the Shield. Now, this only works over Wi-Fi. It isn't going to work like, you know, you can't be at work on 4G LTE or something.
That was my question about that.
I'm sure it's going to require a pretty healthy internet connection. Like, you're going to need, you're going to need your high-end broadband. You're not going to be able to get by on DSL or anything.
Well, no, it's streaming within the house. Like, it's streaming just over your Wi-Fi network. So, like, they showed Hawken. Which I guess that's different because that's the Android part of it. Yeah,
it's actually Hawken Android or something.
But they showed what was the game they showed? Some racing game on
Steam.
Need
for Speed.
Yeah, they showed Need for Speed and they showed it running
really good.
Running on the PC and then it was streaming wirelessly to the Shield handheld.
You were playing it.
Wait, was Mike Pollock in this keynote?
No. No, unfortunately.
It probably would have helped the keynote, believe it or not. It's a few rare time to me for me to say Mike Pollack would have helped the situation, but it
improved it. Looks like they're trying to do so many things with this device that I feel like it's kind of a, at least in my opinion, it's a solution in search of a problem because if people want to play games, like let's say I wanted to play a racing game on a big TV, I can already do that, and the Steam Box would be kind of the answer to that, like people having make that experience easier. But for this, it's like, why would I want to be on a handheld
in my home,
home when I could be on a bigger screen and I could already be hooked up to that bigger screen. And then like the Android piece of it, it's like, okay, but I also, if I have an Android phone, I could play Android games on my phone. Why do I need another device? I feel like it's trying to do so many different things, but I don't really see what the use case for it is.
The weird part is that it runs on stock Android. So like you can run just stock Android on it, but like it's not a phone. So you can't, I mean, obviously you could get apps on it, but like you can't make calls or get texts or, but you could use Twitter, I guess. And
dude,
like,
I want to tweet from my handheld. I mean, why not? My little handheld. This,
it seems like a weird,
I know, why not?
It seems like a weird sidestep like, from the on live service that just like got yeah. shot down.
Well,
like,
well,
I just don't.
Not,
I don't want to use
same
that.
Also,
on
that's
live,
that's why it's a side.
They launched too early.
Yeah. Yes,
if they launched right awesome. Now, and they, you know, when they, if they launched with full 1080p streaming capabilities, people would have eaten that shit alive. But nobody was going to be willing to play games in like 480 or 720p. They just weren't going to do it.
Yeah.
So did the Steam Box just completely cock block the Shield? Because like, I would totally prefer the Steam Box
sort of
to the Shield.
Yeah, but they're working together on the Steam Box, so apparently NVIDIA is not too upset about it.
Yeah, it's Steam, like the PC streaming is Steam only. Like you can't like just go, like if you have a game, like I'm trying to think, well, like the copy of Assassin's Creed 3 that I have isn't on Steam, like I couldn't play that, but if it was on Steam I could. So it only works with Steam, but you have to have, here's the other thing about this streaming thing is, if you're thinking you're going to be able to do this on a, you know, lower end gaming PC, you're not.
Yeah, good luck.
You have to have a 650 plus NVIDIA card and a 650 plus. So you can't have like a 610 or something just god awful. It won't work with NVIDIA Grid, which is like the tech, I guess.
That's
behind
why
that.
I feel like this is a cool. This just seems like a cool tech demo to me. But I don't see how this becomes a viable product, because one of the coolest features of it requires someone to have a what will already be a beefy gaming PC, and that's right. Such a small piece of the like the overall consumer electronics market that they're never going to make money on that. So I don't know, maybe there's something to this that I'm missing, but this seems like a ton of R&D dollars that could be better spent elsewhere.
This
they
to me
have
is a perfect,
lots of dollars to spend though.
Yeah. I have the money. This is a perfect example to me, though, of what I was saying before about Valve. Like, this is the difference of a company that's obviously out for profitability, like all companies are. But when they bring something to the marketplace, like, look at all this fucking cool stuff that this thing will be able to do. And then the consumer looks at it and goes, like you're saying, Brandon, what is the actual – I don't understand what the practical use of this thing
is.
Okay, that's
cool. You're asking someone with an awesome PC to give up their desktop and like all that stuff to go play on like a little tiny screen.
These people confuse cool features with
innovation. You can,
and it's like
you can hook.
It's not the same thing.
Well, no, you're right, but you can also the only case I can see myself using this in, and this is like so. See, this is the problem. This is what Brandon's saying. Yeah. Like, why there's no use to this. This is how I can see myself using the Shield. Okay. I am watching my kids. My basement is basically a death trap right now, and I would not let my kids play in it. So maybe I want to play a PC game and upstairs. Also be upstairs, and I could hook my Shield up to my TV.
You know what, Dan?
And play the game on the
How
TV.
How about you be a good parent?
Shield.
Kids.
No, but like parent. This is like no. Listen to what I'm saying, and then realize think about what the Shield is doing for me. And it's like, well, that's like. That's ludicrous.
So that's
like
best case scenario, but it's going to be running on it's going to be running on a Tegra 4, and it's going to so trying to output it on a 1080p TV is going to look awful.
Well, it works apparently.
It works, but it's going to look awful. I mean, awful.
It looks pretty good in the keynote.
It's not going to look good. It's going to output maybe 720p at like 30 FPS, if that.
I mean,
but I think I'll echo what Scott said though, because I felt that way during the keynote. Is like, okay, this is cool. You have this guy from NVIDIA and Kang Lee sitting on a couch playing Hawken on their Shield. But why would I ever do that? Why would I ever sit around on my couch playing Hawken on this tiny little screen with a controller in my hand?
I love sitting right here and playing video games when I could be sitting here.
Totally.
Dude, it saves you like 5 feet. Dude.
That's not even, that's like 3 feet.
But yeah, I think it's a cool device. And I think it's cool tech.
Cool,
but
is not.
But cool is not useful. Yeah.
Cool is for people that hate money.
I also think it's going to be expensive as fuck. But
you know what else is expensive as fuck? trying to attempt a segue for once in a while.
Oh, into, yeah, well, now we can really. Like,
oh, yeah.
Speaking of terrible, useless products.
Yeah. So we first saw the Project Fiona, which is now something else. The Project Fiona last year was announced, and it was this crazy looking drawing of this tablet
with two dildos strapped to the
side. Yeah, by the way. What?
I was going to say, just for people that don't know, that's from Razer.
Razer's Project Fiona last year. Yes, it is a thing with two dildos strapped to the side. That is an accurate description. but this year they have unveiled the Razer Edge gaming tablet.
Yay, Chico.
Thing. And I hate to, like, we've crapped on the Razer Blade before. So I really hate to do it again, but like,
do you really hate it though? Do you?
No, I really don't. I read the articles on this and read the details. Basically, it's like a supercharged tablet. It's got a 640M in it and an i5 or an i7. The i5 model is $1,000. It's a 10-inch tablet, and then if you want to get, I think the controller part is like an extra $250 or something like that. And then the i7 version is $1,500, I believe. Let me open that up to make sure that I'm telling you correctly. I believe it's $1,500.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah, it's a lot of fucking money,
it's
dude.
It's $1,300, but that would be without any accessories.
But the thing is, tablet gaming, to me, is a more specialized thing than... like PC gaming or even gaming on your phone. Like, games that are made for tablets are made for tablets. Like, I don't need the control thing on it. And to make it, by the way, the people that reviewed and used it said it was extremely heavy with the control set.
That's what I want. It's going to have to be with that kind of hardware.
Yeah.
Once again, I mean, it's just fucking why. With the big, with fucking in all caps for me. I just don't, there's no reason that this product needs to exist.
So can you remove, like, the tablet and take it out just as, like, a tablet and carry it around? Right?
No, yeah, I think it's only, like, 17 pounds.
Yeah,
you
use it as a tablet, but it's also it's, like, three times.
Super heavy.
That's better than the original Project Fiona, where it was constantly with the joystick things on the side. That's
But now you have to pay an extra $200 for the joystick.
Yeah, here's the thing is, I feel like this is not a bad idea in theory. I think that the thing it's trying to do is it's trying to be one device for those multiple use cases. Let's say you want to actually use it as a piece as a laptop. They have the little dock with a keyboard, and you can have it be kind of like a laptop. Or they have their dock where you can hook it up to your TV, and it can now, you know, output to your TV. Or you have the little controllers, and now it's your little console, and that's cool. Like, in theory, I can see the use case for that. But where it breaks down is that, one, it's really heavy, and so it's not really going to compete with the other tablets in the space.
It's something like two or three times as heavy as an iPad. Well,
and people are asking if they can. Go ahead.
Because of the price, you can already, like, you're, let's say you want to do two of these three things. For what one of these costs with the add-ons, you're going to be able to buy two separate devices and do those jobs just as well. You could buy a $500 gaming PC and a $500 laptop and and have $300 left over. I think the pricing is just ludicrous for this.
Is that anything new for a Razer product, though?
Well, no, it's not. No. But I just feel like it's cool to be able to do cool things, but you also have to look at the viability of it as a product. And if that's what it costs for them to turn a profit on that product, then that product probably doesn't need to exist outside their labs yet.
Now, I have a question. This is more of a business question, and maybe some of you might know the answer. So the auto industry, right? When they do an auto show, you come out with concept cars, right? They're just proof of concept, or sometimes they don't even run. It's just like, wow, look at like what we could do kind of things. Why are companies such as Razer and NVIDIA not just making, look at this NVIDIA Shield. It is a working prototype, but it's not something we're going to sell right now.
Razer made the Switchblade. That's a concept.
Yeah, but like, why not just make this gaming tablet as a thing? Like, hey, look what could be done. But right now it is very cost prohibitive, so there isn't much point in doing it.
Right.
Like, that would be...
Like, this is something, like you said, Brandon, like, yes, cool idea, could fill a void, but the price point alone makes it really not worth it. And the fact that, like you said, you're saying, Dan, keep it in concept or keep it in the lab and be like, when the hardware is cheaper and lighter mm-hmm. in the next year or two or whatever, then we can pursue this. But you're right, like Brandon, to turn a profit and charge that amount of price to do it, you'll have people buy it that are either, I mean, not idiots, but have a lot of money to spend and
they're
money's
fucking
no object,
stupid.
And that's fine.
Yeah, at well, the end of the day,
I think that's
you gotta
it. But that's not enough
for
a product.
See, for me, like, the Shield will even sell more than this would. Like, if you're going to put it head to head, because the Shield, it's like, oh, the PS Vita, I know what that is. I know what a Game Boy 3DS is. Like, I know what that product is. This is a gaming tablet. And people who use tablets
are casual
in the mainstream are casual or doing business, which is retarded, by the way, but or business people or people who just want a bigger e-reader that can also surf the web. Like, that's why people buy iPads and like Galaxy 10s and stuff.
Right.
They don't buy them to truly get. No, I don't know anyone, not even people in gaming, who buy a tablet specifically to game on.
Well, and I think it falls back to what I think it falls back to the same argument where it's like you look at it from a common sense perspective. I don't think that when I look at a company like Valve making a Steam Box, that I think they're going to look at that and say, if we can't make a Steam Box, if the Steam Box that we're making is going to cost $1,000, you know, then it's not worth making because people can already get, you know, a PC for $1,000 and cover that need. And something like this, it's like, yeah, it's a cool idea, but then, oh, wait a minute, we cost so much money that people can get individual devices for each of the things that we're supposed to be doing, and that would be a better experience. And I think overall, like, if you need... I think the lesson here and, like, the lesson of tablets in general is if you need accessories to make your tablet worthwhile, it's probably not a good product.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So at the end of the day, you got to ask the question that John loves, and it's, do you hate money? And you either go, yes or no.
I hate money, and I'm not buying that thing.
So actually, there is no question to ask. You just don't buy it. Yeah. That's what it's going to
be. The Shield and Steam Box actually comes down to a matter of price, which, I mean,
yeah,
obviously
if
a lot of
the Steam Box came out and it was like $1,300, I'd be like, no, never. So that's...
But Project Fiona, like the Razer thing, it's like, obviously, it's like, I literally don't see a place for this at all in the marketplace. Like, you're going into a market where Samsung and Apple rule the roost. You're not going to make any inroads at all. Whereas handheld devices that are for gaming, there's a couple, but they aren't really pervasive. So maybe you do make some inroads with the Shield, but I just can't see the edge going anywhere.
Razer's edge that matters is fucking coming from Scott Hall, Chico.
Oh man, Razor Ramon. Oh, 90s wrestling shoutouts.
Very nice.
All right,
shout
guys.
Shout out to NWO.
Shout out to NWO.
We're going to go on to some quick news pieces. And the first one here is going to be Cyberpunk 2077, which is a game we've been looking at for a while now. The CD Projekt Red guys are coming out with the guys who made Witcher 1 and Witcher 2, both of which are fantastic games.
And they all look fantastic.
Oh my god.
And this trailer, okay, Brandon and I have both said this numerous times about trailers, and that pre-rendered footage is just kind of whatever. It doesn't tell me anything about the game. I don't give a shit. This is so good that it's like...
I don't like this trailer because it's related to this game. This is just an impressive thing to watch because it is awesome.
Exactly.
Yeah, as just like the technical exercise of this trailer is pretty insane.
And I don't know what it is, but there's something about like an attractive girl that has these weird hooks for arms.
Fine Jesus, you messed up. You need the Lord in your life.
Wow. Yeah, you're gonna get wow.
But definitely watch it in 1080p.
My feelings on the trailer, I don't care at all. I don't care.
Yeah, really? I care a lot.
I don't care.
Fucking hipster.
I play video games for a game. I I use video games. I game
it as a standalone piece of artwork.
You don't have to appreciate it as a game trailer.
He's having trouble because of Dead Island. I understand exactly
that's true
coming
too.
From.
Last time
that's true
about a god trailer right. was Dead Island, and it wasn't
that's not
that
what
good.
Brandon's saying. That's not what Brandon.
I am no more doesn't... excited. I am no yeah. more excited for Cyberpunk 2077 today than I was a week ago. The fact is that this trailer is just a cool thing to watch.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's used to make hype, and I don't care. I didn't see anything about the game, so I don't have any interest.
I shamelessly admit that I am hyped up.
I play video games to play the game. I don't play video games to watch them. Like
now, if you are hyped up, though, you might as well just put that hype away because this game will not be out until like 2015. Like it's going to be a while before it's out.
I do feel like they're because obviously they are trying to generate hype with this. I feel like it's probably really premature to spend whatever it costs to make a trailer like that when the game is not out for another year. Like, they could have put this out 6 months from now.
But
the longer the hype, the better the hype.
Yes. The other cool things come out of this are they sent us a couple press releases, which I wrote on. We got some details about some game mechanics that will be in, which is cool. And there also is a little teaser hidden in that trailer of February 5th. They may, now no one knows for sure what they're going to announce.
It's Witcher 3. But
it's Witcher. Witcher. Yeah, it's got to be Witcher 3.
It's going to be Witcher 3. So February 5th, they may be announcing Witcher 3, which get excited because both those games, also if you just got a new PC, prepare to put it to the test because
Witcher 2 shits on my computer.
Yeah. Witcher 2 on Ultra Everything is like one of the ultimate tests for how powerful your machine is, and it also just looks amazing. So
yeah,
Cyberpunk 2077, keep your eyes on that. Definitely go watch that. Next up, Brandon, you popped this DayZ article in here.
Well, because Rocket we were Hall. Supposed to have a standalone DayZ right now.
Were supposed to have one,
but Rocket came out this past week in an article. This article is from PC Gamer talking about he posted on the DayZ development blog because obviously he had said that they wanted to have a version of it out like by the end of the year, but it sounds like they're basically just the standard stuff, like they're trying to make it a better release, and they're kind of refining the systems they were going to put in and spending more time on it. They're adding like a scavenging system where you scavenge for items as individual parts, which I mean obviously that will change the game quite immensely. Obviously a lot of us here are excited for DayZ. I haven't played DayZ in a couple months now, just because I've been kind of waiting for this, but it's nice to see. It's a pretty lengthy blog post, so hopefully DayZ standalone here pretty soon.
If you shoot a person in the head to take his night vision, you will damage the night vision. Holy realism, Batman.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's fucking
though.
Cool.
Like, I love that's like the kind of stuff they're trying to add.
Yeah.
It's the only game that I've ever seen or played where I would be like, that is awesome.
Yep.
If you did that in Call of Duty, I'd be like, fuck this, I'm out.
Oh, God.
But since it's DayZ, I'm totally down. But, up next, really quickly, if you were holding out hope for those THQ titles, like Metro Last Light, Darksiders 3 and 4, which should happen, damn it, and the other Saints Row 4, things like that, if you wanted them in the state where you thought they were going to be really good, you may not get your wish. THQ was denied their initial sale in bankruptcy to one credit firm for like $60 million, and now they're going to be auctioning off. The creditors basically exercise their right to try to get more money out of this. So basically, THQ, you can pretty much say, is dead, and some of your favorite games and series may indeed be dead with it, at least how you know them. Some just might be fucking dead. I mean, you don't know.
If I don't get a Darksiders 3, I'm gonna raise hell.
But
what do you want to bet? So, EA picks up Company Heroes 2, makes it Origin.
The only
exclusive.
One that's safe, the only game that's safe is the South Park MMO or RPG. That's the only game that's safe because Viacom owns it, and they already like said, like, no one's touching this. So that is the only Sword of Truth is the only safe product.
And Company
so
Heroes Saints, probably as well. I'm sure it's already
Saints Row's got to be like a real close second.
Well, no, Saints Row 4 may go to EA, and then they may butt fuck it. You never know. It all matters where these games go. Metro Last Light, a lot of these games we heard were pretty much done, although they have later in 2013 releases. But now the future is in jeopardy for pretty much all of them. So hold out hope, though, that they don't go the way of Stalker 2 or something like that. And they get made, because we would be out of a lot of really, really good games. So sucks, but THQ kind of did this themselves anyway. So... yeah, but keep an eye on that, especially if you're a fan of those franchises. So, but here for some good news to end out the news here. Fallout 3, one of the main voice actors in Fallout 3, has teased Fallout 4 on Twitter. So I know there's a lot of hardcore Fallout people who watch us and tweet at us and things like that. And a lot of people didn't like New Vegas because it didn't really spiritually take from Fallout 3, but Fallout 4, man, people are excited, and pretty much no one has come out and straight up confirmed Fallout 4, but it's, I mean, it's happening. So be excited, people who love Fallout. So we'll end the news on a good note there. Poor THQ on the bad notes, but
and now it's time for Twitter questions with the KB Mod Podcast.
So back with them Twitter questions. Lordy, lordy.
Oh boy.
Last week was epic. So hopefully... All right. We got four or five here. Wow. What was the stupidest, most memorable thing you have done as a teenager in high school or college? And that's from this guy's name. I never know what the fuck it is. But there
Mike's
it is.
Mike's still digging.
I participated in the Beer Olympics, which was a terrible idea. That was the worst idea of all time.
How drunk did you get?
I don't know. I don't know, but it was a case race. It was teams of two. You guys had to do a case race. It was a beer pong tournament, a flip cup tournament, and then whoever could drink the most of a bottle of Jack Daniels afterwards without quitting.
Good Lord. Oh, that's not even beer.
I don't even think that's Beer Olympics. That's like hardcore something else.
That's the alcoholism Olympics.
Liver damage.
I was going to say, it was Beer Olympics until you had chugging Jack Daniels straight.
It was terrible. It was a horrible idea. I have no recollection of that at all, other than that
you had me till Jack. I once helped a man shit off a roof.
Wow. Oh, yeah, you've told me that.
I mean, this is an old story for those who've been following us for a long time or my YouTube channel, but it was actually super dangerous because we were holding a dude off a roof, like 35 feet up in the air, just so he could shit off the roof. And I was leaning over the side of the roof with a flashlight on his bum, I mean, so we
that
can
is
see
literally Dan. Poop. That's one of the stupidest things I've. I mean, still to this day, that wins no matter what. Because what
you're
if you had all fallen off and in the newspaper?
Well, we were all naked too. That was the best part, and my buddy Capsar, who you guys have seen in chat, it was at Capsar's house, Christ. And he lived with seven girls. And they hated us. They hated us. So we always used to do this shit. We got really fucking drunk, right? And Capsar came out on the roof because the roof probably shouldn't have been holding seven people either. God. It was probably not a good idea. So Capsar comes out on the roof fully clothed. And he's like, guys, you got to come inside. You got to come inside. So what do we do in response? We do naked jumping jacks right in his face. That's what we do in response. God. And he could not stop laughing. So he couldn't even tell us to stop. So... best part of this story is the poop ended up on one of the girls' windowsills.
Oh my
So
this is just
well, that's a juicy detail. Like, I think the best part of that story is clearly the fact that you were all naked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I heard the
yeah,
I was gonna say
that was awesome.
I've heard this story before, and that was a detail I had not been told.
Yeah, no, we were all naked.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
We were fucking destroyed, dude. the things we did, pretty much every story I could tell that's really dumb happened in that house, because after a while we just tried to piss these girls off that he lived with. So we like took the shower out of their basement, like literally took it out and then just put it in someone's front yard. We just like took it. So like all kinds of stuff. But yeah, that was probably the stupidest, just because Barry could be dead right now.
Yeah. If we had... I mean, imagine like the headline, like man and friends fall to death off roof. Well, I don't even know. I don't even know how it would do it. You guys are naked. You would be found with your necks broken. Shit
in
on the ground in a pile of dudes. I just
there aren't enough words in a headline to be able to catch all the pertinent details in that situation.
And it would all be blamed on video game violence. So how
it would totally.
By the way, if anyone says that can't get you a woman, my current wife was definitely dating me at the time. Well, she was totally laughing at the story.
Current wife.
Yeah. Who knows? Could be gone tomorrow.
Oh, God.
But yeah, that's what happens in Pittsburgh, bros. That's when you get Pittsburghed up.
This man has two children, Chez. This man has two children,
and his wife is hot.
Yeah,
and the dude who pooped off the roof has a kid now too.
Wow, crazy. That's my wife watches anything. I don't have anything near that dumb.
Yeah, I don't have anything that could go anywhere near that realm.
Yeah, Dan.
Oh, I also tried to walk home through the Hill District once drunk, which the Hill District is the equivalent of Compton in Pittsburgh. Mm. It was like 2 in the morning, so that was really stupid. Nothing funny about that. It was just... that was really dumb.
The closest thing to a poop story that I have is I watched a kid poop in the middle of a street. That's it.
Did you
that's
do
really
it?
Dangerous.
Did you just observe like a weird scientist? Were you taking
that?
No.
And that's the most memorable thing you did as a teenager.
No. That's my closest.
Nick Fenton's still a teenager, to be fair.
No, that's my closest poop story.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, that was not the question.
We're walking home from a party and like we were in a ditch and this kid's like, I'm going to go take a shit in the middle of the road. We were like, okay. And then he just sat there in a ditch and he pooped.
One of my buddies took a shit on a school's front steps at night because he just wasn't going to make it home. Then we found out the next day it was open house at the school, so that worked out.
I think all of mine involve going fast in a car. That's about all I can really say.
See, I don't do that. I just watch men shit off roofs.
Or Dan gets really drunk and drives the car. So
yeah, that's dumb, though. That's really dumb. Don't do that, kids.
I one time... when I used to drive junior, senior school, I had a car, so I would drive, but I would stay up. This was during and I had my brother and my sister in the car with me, and this is when I was trying to actually be something at Counter-Strike back in the day, and I would stay up to like 5 in the morning, and then get up at 7 and go to school by 7:30, so I was like a zombie. And there was at least 4 different occasions where we had to cross tons of SEPTA trolley railroad crossings in Philly, and there was at least 2 times where I stopped on the track as a train was coming and narrowly avoided being hit. And so that's just stupid. That was irresponsible. I could have taken my siblings with me. I'm trying to think what else. Yeah, I don't have anything. God, you were all naked and you were... I can't...
Dude, there's so many worse stories than that, though, but none of them involve me. But I know so many worse stories.
I'm trying to think. God. Well...
Like the fucking house we used to party at all the time, they didn't fucking do their dishes, so they put all their dishes in their tub, and they would just shower
that's
with the dishes
nasty.
And then use them.
That's
I'm not
disgusting.
Kidding.
That is
disgusting. Oh my God.
Yeah, it was fucking terrible.
Did they pee in the shower too?
I don't want to know. I never asked that.
If you're washing your dishes in the shower... probably doesn't matter at that point.
Yeah, they had so many dishes, they were like, well, these don't fit in the sink, so let's put them all in the shower, and we'll do them in there, and then they just didn't do them in there either. Now, this is called college, T-Sigs, which is a third world country test. College.
Oh, shit.
You come up with solutions to problems, alright?
Yeah.
Scott doesn't do anything aside from hide in the showers.
That was my main pastime. I wasn't shitting
was.
or cleaning dishes and showers. I was just hiding in them. So, Art say. All right, I'll read the next.
Sorry, one. I just killed that question.
No, your answer's so good. No one else should have even said anything. Jesus Christ. Fuck you, Dan. Just the one upper right there. That's such a good story. All right, Artsay says, what are your opinions on sub-communities of games? Example, COD jumping, surfing on TF2/CS, or even people who quickscope, quote-unquote.
Surfing is very beneficial to your actual gameplay because it helps you with your movement a ton.
Well,
and quickscoping can...
About what do we think of the communities, though?
Sub-communities are good. It adds longevity to your game. People will stick around because there's other things to do in your game.
And quickscope communities are fine as long as they use the intervention and they don't use other guns. It's fine.
I think the movement-related ones like that, that's just fucking cool. And like John said, if you get that good with your movement, it's only going to help you in the real game to be a better player. So I'm totally down with that.
Yeah, like trick jumping and stuff was huge in Quake and Wolfenstein and stuff.
Yeah,
I did Halo 3 trick jumping, which was not nearly as cool. So
some of the which just wasn't useful at all.
The Quake like rocket jump montages and shit.
Oh, those are some of the best like machinima ever made.
Completely insane stuff. Trying to think of what else is good. I mean, obviously modding is a sub-community, but that's a whole other deal.
Yeah, like my general answer to that question would be it's great, even though some of them, like, I mean, quickscoping I think is dumb, but I think Nick is right. It helps add to the longevity of a game. And so whether it's a mod or, you know, jumping or quickscoping, I mean, all of it is good. People find a niche that they like about a game, and then that's where they dedicate their time.
I think the speedrunning community is the greatest thing on earth.
Yes.
After watching this marathon this week, like, holy shit, there weren't many PC games or anything like that, but that's totally fine. Like, the glitches are all in the console games anyway, so it's like watching them run games like that, like, that should be a thing. Like, if that went away, that'd be terrible. That would suck. That's, like, entertaining as hell. Just seeing the glitches that people find and all that kind of stuff, that's just cool. And so, yeah, I think generally our opinion's good. Spins, not wins, bros. That's what we're saying.
Right.
Spins, not wins.
Next.
So, next. At VicNY09 asks, favorite things from CES? I don't know if anyone paid that in-depth of attention to it. But Steambox for Scott. Oculus Rift is progressing very nicely.
BenQ's awesome in-home lamps.
Yes, there were some cool random shit like that.
They're also too much money, but they're still cool as shit looking.
Did anyone see the Velocity, I think it was called? It's this new Wi-Fi chip that does 5 gigs a second Wi-Fi.
Good, that's so really useful in America.
That would be useful. That'd be fucking awesome. You could get rid of all that shit and get rid of all wiring in buildings and shit like that. It'd
well,
be amazing.
The Wi-Losity thing doesn't really work through walls, but it is really cool, though. I think it's not useful at all, but there was this thing called the Mondo Spider. I don't know if you saw it. It's like a robotic spider vehicle thing.
I gotta look at
that. Which, honestly, that's the stuff that's, like, that's the reason CES is cool, because there's zany stuff like that.
Zany?
I don't really care about it.
Zany?
Zany!
I don't really care about it for its practical implications, because it's like, okay, cool. 4K TVs and tablets and things, but it's like, that's the kind of thing
Ultra
I want to see.
HD.
It. Yeah, I want to see that at CES. I want to see a dude driving a mechanical spider.
Oh, you know what was cool and does have implications for everybody is the flexible OLED screens.
Yeah.
Those are cool as fuck. You can like bend them around stuff and they're like paper, but it's a screen. That's cool.
Did you see the tablet that has a tech that when you bring up to type in the keyboard, it actually pops up like bubbles above
that's
it?
That's cool as shit.
That's so
fucking
cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
That was like my
I would actually like
shit.
That.
I'm watching
Nick
this
Fenton's, like, blown
I'm watching this spider video of the Mondo Spider. It's like a scene out of Wild Wild West. This is amazing. I want one. It literally looks like a miniature giant spider from Wild Wild West, and this guy is just driving it. This is awesome. Oh, man. That's it. That's mine, then. Mondo Spider.
For me, best gaming related, probably still the Oculus Rift. It seemed like people came away with positive impressions, as I've heard before, but more people are now saying that.
They keep upping the resolution on the headset, too, which is only a good thing. As far as this TV tech, which is what like the public usually blows their load over, is like 4K TVs and Ultra HD. Don't care. And you shouldn't. You shouldn't care, actually, at all. Most sites were really down on the Ultra HD, which is supposed to be better than 4K.
No, they're the same
4K
thing.
TVs are like $21,000. Like, no. No.
Just no.
There's no content that you can put on
that'll
them
make it worth
that
it.
Put them to use. Like,
I think 1080p is going to be good enough for people for a long time.
But, oh, yes, people keep mentioning this in the chat, but I also was going to mention this. The Aries 2 7970, the water-cooled, closed-loop Asus 7970 thing is a fucking monster. But, yeah, that thing was cool, too, but it's also useless.
Just in time for the 8 series to come out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can I just point out that, real quick, 1080p is for chumps, 1440 by 900 Master Race.
Anyway, thank you. Thank you, Scott. Yep. For proving my
that
point.
That sentence was brought to you by 2007.
Hey, I'm viewing the podcast on that monitor right now. It's great. Looks great in 1440.
It looked better in 1080.
Not really.
So, I'm next here from It's Steffers. Do you have to run a garden hose from a faucet to your computer for liquid cooling? Yes.
I mean, that's one way you can do
it,
for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Why not?
That is a way you can do it. Yes.
I just keep super soakers on the top of my desk, and I shoot them at my case.
Next idea.
Oh, my temps are up.
Probably legit.
I want a beer cooled.
My temps are up.
Beer cooled computer? That'd be legit, dude.
Oh, my lord.
You know what's fucking useless? Those mineral cooled PCs.
Yeah, they just look cool.
They just look cool. That's literally all they do.
Mineral oil to like make your parts underwater and stuff.
That's what I'm talking about. You submerge the whole PC.
Yeah, that just seems like if you want to be like constantly keeping up like with cleaning and stuff in your computer, sure, go for that. But why?
So, yeah, it's I don't know. But
I don't know.
CES, though, generally, as we said, I was surprised that we had, when we started the news, I was surprised we had so much PC gaming news, but yes, nobody runs a garden hose. Not yet, though. Not yet. That's coming. Asus will make an attachment.
I was going to say, well, no one has done it successfully. We'll say that.
Yeah.
I used peanut butter as thermal paste.
It smells awesome. It's all heated up. So, last question. This is a really in-depth one, and I don't know how to answer it, but at UDP7 asks, what is your favorite file type?
GIF. Legitimately acquired ISOs.
GIF.
ISOs. John with the ISO qualifier.
GIF, yeah, that's a good one. I'm partial to PDFs because I love anything that opens up in an
just,
Adobe.
No,
get
out
of what you talking about. That is objectively.
I know you love Adobe. That's why you keep playing League of Legends.
That's right.
We talked about this. I talked about this on Twitter this week. The only way you could make iTunes worse is if iTunes was running on Adobe.
Adobe Air, dude. iTunes. I'm toed out.
iTunes running on Adobe Air. You would just never be able to use it. It would just crash on launch, and it would just. And well, then no, it would
it,
always
it would ask you to update before you open it. Then you'd update it. Then it would.
Well, then it would crash, and it would also use, if you have 4 gigs of RAM in your PC or something, it would use 3.5. Like, use more than it can actually use. That's what iTunes does. Just be the worst. PDFs are the fucking worst, Scott. Don't ever say that again.
I love PDFs.
It's the worst file type. TIFFs are a close second. Worst file type.
Are TIFFs used anymore?
Yeah
TIFFs are used by courts all the time. Oh. And it's dumb.
Yeah, going to the business world, TIFFs are all over the place.
Yeah, it's retarded. INI files are sweet.
INI is good. I like a good .rar. So I gotta open.
Yeah, solid rar file. Solid 7-zip file.
Yeah,
it's good.
7-zip. Oh fuck, 7-zip. Oh.
7-zip is ISO is still the best file type.
Are we eating on 7-zip?
Guys are all full of shit.
I'm not a fan of 7-zip.
I like a PDF slash A. Those are good ones.
You know, a really good JPEG is pretty good when you're on Argonne Wild or something. Pretty solid.
Yeah. Nice. Are we talking to .jpg or .jpeg?
JPG, but we could go with the JPEG.
Nice.
You know,
nice.
Nice. That's I just crucial, give download links to my Photoshop files. For Gone Wild posts.
My real favorite should be WMV. You're right, Mike. Well,
WMV.
WMV is pretty fun.
Can we just?
What's a real shitty video file? A terrible video file. Oh, QuickTime.
QuickTime. Oh, shit.
It's pretty bad. .move, M-O-V.
.move, yeah.
That's awful.
What used to open? Yeah.
MP1. MPEG-1 format.
Can we just say real quick that, like, the worst thing on the internet right now is let's say it's a screenshot of something, like a Facebook post or something, that is so heavily artifacted that it looks like someone has re-encoded it, like, 3 or 4 times. And it literally, it's just so awful. I'm like, how do you do that?
Screenshotting is hard. It's really difficult.
It's very difficult. The best is when we get emails at work and they're 10 megs because someone just put the raw bitmap in there of their screenshot. And I'm like, you showed me both your screens. The relevant information is somewhere here and I can't find it.
Oh,
you
God.
Dumb fuck. Help your IT out, people.
That's the worst. The second worst is like getting a like 8 meg PowerPoint presentation via email.
Yep.
So
we get 50 meg PDFs and shit like that. It's the best. Like 1600-page PDFs. Ugh. Yeah, MOV. More MOV shout outs in the chat. FLAC is an amazing file type. Don't ever talk shit on FLAC. FLAC is awesome. .swags. That should be a file type. All right, guys. That appears to be it for this week. But next week, we do have a guest on. I have confirmed a guest for next week. Mr. Eat My Diction.
One.
Nick.
Awesome.
Eat My Diction 1. I apologize.
Yeah, please get it right.
I apologize so much. Yeah. Eat My Diction 1 will be on here next week. Not Cheddar Chaz. Mm. Cheddar Chaz will not be on the podcast next week.
Well, just so you know, AGDQ raised $422,000.
Yeah, $422,000 by those speedrunners.
That's insane.
So, Eat My Diction next week. Same time, same place. Thanks for tuning in, guys. And thank you to all the subscribers for your support. Follow us on Twitter at KBModGaming, on Facebook, facebook.com/KBMod, and of course, here on Twitch, give us a follow if you're new. And,
vote for us for a Shorty Award, podcaster.
Yes, vote for us for a Shorty Award, and I will be doing Isaac on the post stream because I feel like doing it. So, there you go. Alright guys, thank you so much for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Goodbye, everybody.